All right, it's good to be back. I thank you all for coming back out. The ones that were here the first time that we were here and filled in, it was a blessing to come be a part of the church service. Good, there's some new faces, I believe, maybe this morning, but I don't know, my memory's not so good anymore. But we'll go ahead and get into Sunday school pretty quickly this morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'll just share a few observations with you. Well, you're turning there. If you weren't here last time, I am an evangelist. My name is, some people say Farr, but it is Fair, Brother Rex Fair. My wife Larissa is here, and my son and daughter just went back to Sunday school, so they're going to probably terrorize that today, so that will be a good thing. But all kidding aside, but it is good to be here this morning. You know, we live in a society today that is looking for everything under the sun to try to find some kind of peace, some kind of comfort, some kind of purpose and belonging. And I believe that we can find all of that through Jesus Christ. And just as we just sang in that song, Happy Am I, and you know, we can live happy today. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven one day because we're already on our way there. If we're born again, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're on our way to heaven. We can be happy today and we can enjoy those things and we can live life to the fullest today, even when we see the things going around us that the way they are. Go to, we're starting in verse 11, John chapter 20, verse 11. We'll read a few scriptures, I'll pray, we'll get right into the message. And I'll try to be quickly. I don't have a watch on me. So if I start running, what did he say, 20? 20 after or something like that? So, Rissa, if I start getting close, just wave your hand at me. But the Bible says in verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now, we understand that Mary had already run to the sepulcher. And she saw the stone was away. And, you know, if we backed up in the scripture and she runs to Simon Peter and to John and she says, they have taken him, they've taken him. And Peter and John, they take off running to the sepulcher and they go in. And there's Jesus missing, but there was that napkin they had laid on his face was set aside. And I've heard messages preached about that napkin before. And they find the empty tomb and the Bible says that the disciples went back, they went away again under their own home. But Mary stands there and she's weeping and she looks into the sepulcher again. And at this time, now there it is, Mary's the only one that stuck by the sepulcher there. And she was weeping but the Bible says, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, they have borne him hence. Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, or Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and people often wonder why we're to be in church on the first day of the week on Sunday. Right, well, right here it is. We're to give the Lord the first parts of our life, first our first of our fruits, of our money, of our talents, but of our time too, if you think about it. And Sunday is the first day of the week. But look what happens here. It says, then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. See, we're to assemble together that first day of the week. But it says, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. And as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And we're gonna end right there. And if we would go on down, we understand that's where you can get into a whole nother message, because we go into Thomas. He was one of the 12. He was not there. He didn't believe. And you go on and go on forth. But this morning, I wanna draw some things out of this portion of Scripture, and I've titled this, I want to be where Jesus is. I want to be where Jesus is. And I just want to share three quick observations for you out of this portion of Scripture to just try to encourage you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this privilege, God, to stand here behind this pulpit, God, to just share some things out of the Scriptures this morning, God, that you've shown me, that, God, you've allowed me to observe some things just to encourage me and to keep me going on some of those rainy days. God, I pray, though, today, God, the people didn't come here today, God, to hear from a man, but, God, they came to hear from you. And, God, I pray that you would empty me out, God, of anything that would be of myself. God, clear my mind and my heart. God, I pray that you would just fill me up with your Spirit this morning. God, speak through me. Lord, that the people may hear from you this morning, that they may hear from heaven. God, I pray that each and every one of us in this building today would just take a little time, clear out our hearts and our minds of anything that may be a distraction. But God, that you would help them to hear what you have for them here this morning. God, I pray that you would meet with us in a special way. God, that your presence would be felt here today. God, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we understand this was after Jesus was laid in that tomb, and he was in there for those 3 days and those 3 nights, and we understand that he had rose from the dead. And Mary Magdalene, she's the first one. She runs to the sepulcher, and the disciples come behind, and we understand that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And we thank God that the tomb was empty, because without a risen Savior, we have no way to heaven, no salvation. Without that, we just have a dead prophet. But we understand that this was all, excuse me this morning, I got a little bit, I don't know if my son seemed like he had a little bit of a cold, and I don't know if that's wearing off or what, but I got a little drainage there, but just bear with me this morning. But we understand that this was all part of God's plan. This was ultimately, God had this all planned out, and this was part of his plan. And we understand that here they came to get Jesus, and they came to take him out of that tomb and to dress him there and do those things. But we find they come there and they find out that Jesus was gone. And this had to be a confusing time to them, because the Bible says that they didn't know the Scriptures. And whether that was they didn't listen to Jesus while they were there with them, or that they just didn't know fully the Scriptures. We have to keep that in mind, that the disciples and a lot of the Old Testament prophets and all that, they didn't have all 66 books of the Bible like we have. So, you know, when you think about living by faith, they really live by faith, because we're without excuse. We have the whole counsel of God. We have everything that God wanted us to have. But we live in these times right now, and we see confusing times, and I'm sure this was a confusing time for the disciples and for Mary and for all those. And And they desired to be there with their Savior again, to spend this time with the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever sensed the presence of God on a church service, or there's been times I've been driving down the road by myself and I'm listening to a song or sermon, and it's like God moves right in there, and all of a sudden you start to weep, and that very heavy presence of God falls upon you. And when that happens in your life, you desire to live in that place. And you know, we can be in that place. And there's a special blessing from being in that place. You know, I've seen some things, and people have showed me some church services where it gets a little crazy and out of hand. And they tell you that God showed up because somebody grabbed a Christian flag and started waving it. Listen, when Jesus shows up in a church service, it's not craziness. When Jesus shows up in a church service, you see yourself of who you truly are. And there's a humbleness that will fall upon you, but there's also something special about being in the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but the best place that we can be is where Jesus himself is. And to be in that presence of God, we understand that we have to be at a place that we can be where God is. See, God has not left where he has always been. When we don't sense and feel the presence of God, it's because we have moved away ourselves. We've allowed something to come between us and God. God hasn't left us. The Bible tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. God has not left us. We have left him when we don't sense that presence of God upon our life. But I want to share three things with you that I see out of this portion of Scripture about being in the presence of God. Three things that we can find that will be upon us when we are in that presence of God. And listen, each and every one of us, you may not have that heaviness, that fullness of God each and every day, but you know what? We ought to want that. And the only way that we're going to gain these things and see these things and live in this place of the presence of God is when we do the things necessary to be to where God is. Number one, we got to live in such a way that we're clean enough to be close enough to God. See, most of us want to live in sin and still be in the presence of God. But see, God is holy. He has not changed. And for us to sense his presence of God and have the blessings of God fully upon us, listen, God has not changed. God still calls young men to service. I believe one of the reasons we don't see a movement of God and many of the miracles like we saw in Bible times is because people aren't living in the presence of God. They're living outside of that. They attend church. They read their Bible. They pray. But they are allowing some kind of sin in their life to keep from having that fullness of God in their life. And three things I want you to see. Look in verse 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews came, Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, the first thing I want you to understand about living and being in the presence of where Jesus is in the presence of God is there is peace in the presence of the Lord. That, listen, we live in a day and a time and an era that there is a lot of turmoil going on. And when we look around, look at the mess that we have going on in our government today, that, you know, if we can just pass this gun law, if we can just pass that gun law, it will quit with all these mass shootings. No, listen, when we get back to the Bible, when we get back to living, listen, they took Jesus out of the schools, but then they still want the hedge of protection upon God. They took discipline away from children. Now that's a crime to discipline your children. We wonder why we see the things that we do. Listen, this when you start talking about disciplining children to the whole millennial age, they don't understand it because they just think that's abusive. Well, let me help you with something. When I was a kid and I went to grade school, kids got in trouble for chewing gum, food fights, spitballs, their hair being too long. Not for shootings. Listen, bullying, let me help you with bullying. Bullying is we got a bunch of sissified boys anymore that don't have never, you know, it's one of these things mama says, that you don't fight. Well, let me help you with something. I would rather my son fight than come home, get a gun, go shoot a bunch of people. See, when I was a kid, what I learned was when that bully wanted to bully you, you just find a way to equalize the situation. So when he was like a foot taller than you, you found something to bring him down to your level. For me, that was a metal lunchbox in his face. See, we have to understand. You say, Brother Rex, that's not right. You shouldn't. You know what? He didn't bully me anymore. And there's a time, and what I found out about bullies, most of the time, if you just stand up to them, they back down, because normally they're all this. But see, we want peace through all these other things. We think peace will come by not preaching on sin. We think peace will come by passing this gun law or that gun law. Listen, enforce the ones that we have now, and we don't have to pass more of them. Guess what? If we started disciplining our children, doing what God said, listen, when we get back to raising our children the way that God said biblically to do it, we're find peace in the home. We're find peace in our marriage when we have a marriage that lines up with God's marriage, the way God defined the marriage to be. When we live where Jesus lives, that means we're going to obey the Bible. We're going to obey the Bible individually. We're going to obey the Bible as a husband and a wife. We're going to obey the Bible as children and as parents raising their children, as church members. Listen, as a church member of this church, we just read on the first day of the week, that is Sunday, that is this day, they were assembled together. Guess what happens when we're assembled together? The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Guess who shows up on Sundays? Jesus shows up on Sundays. It's a good place to be on Sundays in church. When these doors are open for revivals, for special meetings, for whatever it is, we ought to be faithful to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much more as we see the day approaching. That means, guess what? We ought to be faithful to the house of God. Guess what? Thomas didn't get to see Jesus. You know why? He wasn't assembled together with them on the first day of the week. So when Jesus showed up, he wasn't there to see him. He was doubting Thomas. Remember, I don't believe it till I see it myself. Well, guess what? Be in church when the doors are open. When Jesus shows up, you just might see him. But see, we got to live in such a way that we don't hush out the presence of God. But so many times, we're looking for peace. We're looking for all these things through worldly things. And we just got to get back to obeying the Bible. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. What things has he spoken to us? This, he's given us the whole counsel of God. And he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We've come to this place where we just want to, even in the churches, you see the great falling away in the churches today and how they're dropping standards and they're trying to do all these things, get away from Bible standards to try to reach this new generation. And it's not working, guys. It is not working. We have to stick by the book and do it God's way. And when we do it God's way, we'll find that presence. We'll find that peace that comes from being in the presence of the Lord. You know, the great thing about it, he says there that in the world we will have tribulation. In the world, we're going to have tribulation. There's going to be turmoil and tribulation in the world. But we can get through those things when we're living in the presence of God. Listen, Job, God knew exactly what was happening to Job. But Job had confidence in God. When we quit lifting ourselves up, elevating ourselves, thinking we deserve something more than what we are getting, that's when we start to get out of the peace in the presence of God. We start to lift ourselves up. And the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of the Lord. Listen, if you've been born again, if you've been justified by that faith, just as you've never sinned before, there is a peace that comes from God that no matter what you go through, this is not your landing place. This is just where this is your layover. This is your just a passing through, and we're going to see him one day in glory, and we know we got a home in heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we live in that presence of God, we will be minded to spiritual things. And when those things are there, listen, you're going to go through things. And just realize, for you to have a testimony, guess what, brother? You're going to have to go through some tests. If you don't go through the test, you have no testimony. Your testimony starts at salvation. Then you're going to go through some tests. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some heartaches. You're going to go through some tribulation. What we just started, all these kids just started school. And what they learn, then they get tested on. Guess what, brother? What you learn out of that book, you're going to get tested on. Because I believe last time I was here, I preached on God's purpose for the wilderness. And when you go through those trials, many times God's trying to prove to you or to me who I am. Because how we pass the test will determine how many times we have to take the test. You know, so you go out there and you try to pass the driver's test and you fail, you have to take the test again. If you fail the driver's test, you have to take the test again. You say, why do you have to keep taking the test? Because they're not going to let you go out on the road by yourself and drive unless you can pass the test. God's not going to let you go further in the Christian life until you can pass the test back here. But we can pass those tests. We can go through the trials when we understand that being close to God in that presence of God will give us peace. There was peace that came in the presence of God. Look at John chapter 20, verse 21. We'll go to point number two. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Being in the presence of God will give us purpose. Being in the presence of, see, they, God's purpose for discipling them, God's purpose for sending the Holy Spirit upon them, God's purpose for their lives was so he could send them to do what God the Father sent him to start. What is that? To seek and to save that which was lost. See, every one of us here that is a born again, born adopted in the family of God, has been commissioned to be a soul winner. It's not the pastor's job only to tell people about Jesus Christ. It's not. It's every one of you. Here's what I don't understand. This is something I haven't come to understand. If you receive the Holy Spirit, if God moved inside of you and saved you from the depths of hell, pulled you out of that horrible pit and that miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and he says, establish your going. I don't understand how people have no desire to tell anybody else about what they got. I struggled at it a little bit at first about going out door-to-door soul winning. But I didn't struggle with shoving the gospel down everybody I knew's throat. And I, when I say that, I mean that literally. There was no tack. There was no tack. It was, you know, you need to get what I got, because if not, you're going to hell. It was one of those things. You're going to split hell wide open one of these days. I mean, it was full throttle with, I was going to hit you with a Mack truck. There was no trying to encourage you, no trying to get into your little bedroom, no trying to talk to you. It was just, I'm going to hit you with it. I pushed a lot of people away, but guess what? I knew what I had was real, and I didn't want to see those people that I had known for years someday die and go to hell. And I would rather force them away that way than to never tell them, because when you don't tell them, their blood is upon your hands. And that's very biblical there and scriptural, and we're not going to go there today to find that, but God has a purpose for us. Guess what? When we're in the presence of God, do you know how you get the calling of God upon your life? Be in the presence of God. How do you be in the presence of God? The Word of God in the Bible. We need to stay where God is. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, for those of you who are saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Brother Rex, God didn't commission all of us, but he says, go ye. That means all of us. Therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's winning them to Christ. That's getting them baptized, which is the first sign of obedience and commandment of God. How can God do more with somebody when they won't obey him in the little things, the first things? But it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them. Now we're going to disciple them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have to get to this place where we understand that God has a purpose for each and every one of us as born-again believers, which is to be soul winners, which is to read our Bibles, which is to pray, which is to be faithful to church services. These are things that are common to every believer that there is, but then we fall into that place where there's specific reasons why God had created you. There's things he knew about you that makes you tick, and many times those trials, those tribulations, those things that we go through are things that God is just preparing us for the purpose that he wants to use us and the way that he wants to use us. Let me ask you this. Who's here that has ever gone through a trial or a tribulation? Pretty much everybody? Has the book of Job ever been an encouragement to you? A reminder to you that you're not the only one that God, it seems like God's presence, God wasn't there. Why has God let me go through this? Then all of a sudden, that book of Job sparks into your mind, and all of a sudden you go, what I'm going through is really not that bad. Do you ever think about the purpose of Job's life? God says he was a perfect and upright man. That was God's own words. He was a perfect and upright man. Brother, why would God allow somebody that God would look upon and say he was a perfect and upright man, allow the devil to feast upon him? Some of the trials that we go through in life, God has a purpose for them. It just might be for us to help somebody else down the road. There is a purpose for every... Listen, there's trials that we bring upon ourselves because we get away from God. We get over here doing our own thing. We get over here living in sin. And every time we do, we're stepping away. But God's still there. He's still on the throne. He hasn't left. He's still there. He's still in the working business. But we get away from God. We bring that upon ourselves. But see, there's protection. There's purpose. There's peace that comes from living right here by God. I got up this morning, I prayed, I read my Bible, I studied, I'm keeping my mind pure, I'm keeping my thoughts pure, I'm keeping the things that I look at pure. I know that whatever comes upon me today, guess what? It's in his hands because I'm right here beside him. I'm living in that presence, I'm living in that peace that comes from being right by God and doing those things. Guess what? So if God's allowing me to do it, he has a purpose for what is going on in my life right now. He has a reason. He's doing something. He's working. He's testing me. He's allowing me to learn some things that we can be used of Him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, those verses we all commonly know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That is the key, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I want you to understand something. Listen to that part there, though, and I understand we can get all crazy and people start going, oh, He predestined some and then others. But you ever notice the ones that use that term, they're all the ones He predestined. You know what I mean? We're all predestined, but we choose whether we have that destiny that God has set for us or not, we by the way that we make our choices in life. But listen to this. It says, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What did Jesus do for us? Exactly. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was falsely accused. And He was hung upon that cross. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was all these things. God said that we'd be conformed to His Son. But we think that we don't deserve the things that we go through. See, God has a purpose for our life. And the things that we go through, as long as we live here in His presence, we understand we're fulfilling His purpose. We're fulfilling those things. Guess what? We're past the test when He was spit upon, when He was mocked, when He was ridiculed, when He was falsely accused. What's the Bible say that He did? Spoke not a word. Spoke not a word. I encourage you, Hebrews 10:25, not to miss church. And we're going to move right into the last part. I encourage you not to miss church, because what you need for next week, you might just get today. What you need for this week, God might just have for you in tonight's church service. What you need for the following week might just be what He has for you Wednesday night. See, your pastor, he prays, he seeks God's face, he studies the scriptures, he prays for you, he prays for this church, he prays for what God, and you know what? You know who else knows what you're going through or what you're about to go through? God does. And God speaks to the man of God, gives the man of God a message to prepare you, to warn you, or to help you through life. That's why it's so important to be in church. In John chapter 20, verse 22, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And by no means am I looking at this as a man has the power to forgive another man of his sins, but there is power in the presence of God. And when I tell you about that is this, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you to do things. This is the power that I'm talking about. The power that I'm talking about is that sensitivity that you will have to the Holy Spirit. Our power comes through God's Word and through His Word only. Okay? There's none of us that are magicians that can lay our hand and go, whoa. If Benny Hinn has the power to heal people, why doesn't he go down there to the Children's Cancer Center and do it for free? Because it's amazing. It's always where there's this big money gimmick for them. So you can get mad at me. If you watch them, you got problems, you can just come to the altar and get right now. But Let's get to the facts of something. There is power in the presence of God. Because when you live in such a place that the very sensitivity, the breathing of God can come upon you to stir you, to move, to do what He wants you to do, or to say what He wants you to do, that's the power that comes from God. Let me illustrate. When you live in such a way and you're sensitive to what God wants you to, and you're being obedient, and listen, we all fail. And I'm not telling you you're going to live a perfect life. But has God ever stirred you and just said, you know what, pick up your phone and call so-and-so? Has God ever led you to somebody and all of a sudden it's just like coincidence? They needed to hear what you had to say to them that day and encouragement from the Word of God. A few years back, one day I was at work, I was self-employed, I was working, and all of a sudden, it just came upon me. I was supposed to call my brother-in-law. It was like God was prompting me. He said, you know what, go call Danny. I'm like, Lord, I'm in the middle of working. I got guys working. I got to keep them busy. He said, go call Danny. I turned around and I said to my other brother-in-law, Mark, I said, hey, I need to go out and make a phone call. He goes, all right, I'll keep going. I said, all right. So I go out, I call Danny. And we start to talk. And my brother-in-law, Danny, was a youth pastor and had got out of God's will and allowed some things come into his life. And this was, 3 years later after they stepped away from the ministry. He's a Winchester police officer there in Virginia. And his job now started to lead to marital problems with which is my sister-in-law, which just being married to her, period, could bring you marital problems. But that's a joke. But everybody sort of is like, are you serious? No, I'm not serious. She's probably one of my favorite sister-in-laws. But I didn't know this. But all of a sudden, I had no idea what was going on, but Danny was in his truck. And he was on his way to his house after his shift. And we started to talk. And he started to tell me about some of the issues. And Lori just didn't understand. And so on and so forth. And so God prompted me to sort of turn the tables on him. So I started asking him, what if your wife was alone in a cruiser car all night long with another man? How would you feel? What if your wife was going into these houses and tackling men that were naked like you are ladies? It was his job. They're going into these houses and there's domestic violence. If the people don't have clothes on, you don't go, well, put clothes on. I'll come back in a little while after one of you kills. So it's... But it was causing marital problems. You know why it was causing marital problems? Because he got away from the presence of God. Were they still going to church? Yes. Was he still reading his Bible? Yes. Was he still praying? Yes. But was he where God wanted him? Was he fulfilling God's purpose? No. I didn't know this till some time later. He came to me and said, thanks for saving my marriage. I said, what? He said, I was on the way to pack my clothes. Lori and I were going to split up. I didn't know that. Somebody else knew that. We ought to live in such a way, in obedience, exactly, brother, that because without obedience, we can't live here in the presence of God. But you know something? When that trial comes upon you, you can have peace. You know why? Because you're living in such a way that God will give you comfort through it. When God calls you to go do something, when he shows you what that purpose is, you're of peace to go do it. You know why? Because you're living right there where God is in obedience. When we obey God, we live in his presence. When we live in his presence, we have peace, we have purpose, and we have power. We have a power that will come upon us that God will be able to use us in ways for the purpose that he created us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you with, and peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Listen, before this place gets too bad, he's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. I got a bunch of the scripture verses. I'll just read them. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me help you with this. Proverbs 28, verse 1, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There is peace, there is purpose, and there is power in the presence of God. Ask yourself something this morning. When the trials come, do you have peace? Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you doing what you should be doing? Is there a power? Do you see God's hand upon your life as he's using you and moving you around from place to place to do things? And it doesn't mean he has to move you across the country, but it could be across the street to your neighbor's house to tell them about Jesus Christ. It could be very simple things, but without obedience to the things that God has already showed us, the little things, if we can't obey him in the little things, these things will never be upon our lives. We will not feel that presence of God, knowing that those decisions, those things that we're doing are the things that would be pleasing to God unless we're living right there in his presence. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for these dear people that have come out here. God, I pray that as we move into the morning service, God, I pray that your presence, God, would be felt here this morning. God, I pray that, God, if there would be anybody here this morning, God, that would have something upon their life that would hinder, God, from your spirit, your presence to move into this place, God, I pray that we would get it settled this morning. God, that we could live in such a way that your peace and your purpose and your power would fall upon our lives. God, I pray that you'd help us as the day goes on. Watch over us now, God. Pray that you bless and be with the young children this morning, God. Be with those teachers. I pray that you'd help us. God, if there be somebody today, God, that is here in this church service today, God, that is not truly born again, God, today I pray, God, would be that day that they get that settled, that you get a hold of their heart, they call upon you and get saved. God, I pray that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.